Today, in addition to being Father's Day, is also Trinity Sunday, traditionally a day when preachers try to expound upon the deep theological meaning of the Trinity, like my professor from seminary, Dr. Ellen Wondra, co-author with Owen Thomas of the Introduction to Theology. Now, even though well-intentioned, try as we might to explain the Trinity, we usually just put everyone to sleep. So chapter 4 in their book is about the Trinity, and let me read one of the short paragraphs on this page. The doctrine of God depends entirely on what God is revealed to be, on the divine self-disclosure attested in the Bible and interpreted in church doctrine. In the doctrine of God, the most fundamental thing to say is that God is revealed as triune, as threefold, name in the New Testament as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's like I'm singing you a lullaby this morning, isn't it? So let's talk about the Trinity more creatively. And I give many thanks to Gethsemane Episcopal Church in Minneapolis for this sermon seed. So you should all have a light green sheet, and it is the womb of life, the hymn Womb of Life and Source of Being. If you don't have a copy, just raise your hand and the ushers can come by with copies for you. Now, the theology of the words in this hymn is orthodox. It's biblically based. It is also theologically accurate. It is written to the tune of Hail, Thou Once Despised Jesus. Those of you who are musicians, you probably recognized the melody. And it is the professor of worship at the Garrett Evangelical Theological Seminary in Evanston, Illinois, the seminary across the street from my alma mater, where she works as the professor of worship. And this theology in this hymn is meant to help us understand and define the fullness of God in human relationships. And I don't want the title to throw you, this womb of life and source of being. It is also biblically based on the words of the prophet Isaiah, and also in the Gospels. This image of the womb of life, of source of our being, is God, the creator of all that is, of all that exists, and it is almost word for word from the prophet Isaiah. You'll note that the first three stanzas of this hymn sing of the names and the work of the Trinity. And within these stanzas, we'll see several images of God at work in our lives and in our human relationships. So Neil is going to accompany us this morning. We're going to sing it through once. And then we're going to take a closer look at the Trinity by looking at each stanza, stanza by stanza. So as my music professor and my voice teachers have told me in the past, we sing better when we stand. So please rise if you are able. And Neil is going to play this through once, and then we will begin to sing. Thanks, Neil. Be seated. So we're going to start off by taking a closer look at stanza one, and it speaks of God as the womb of life and source of being. This is God, the creator of all that exists, in whose arms the world's awakened, who has loved us from the start. The language of the opening of this hymn echoes Isaiah, where God's protective love of Israel is often imagined as an expectant or nursing mother. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 2, thus says the Lord who made you, who formed you in the womb. Or Isaiah 46, verses 3 to 4, listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel who have been born by me from your birth, carried from the womb. Even to your old age, I am he. Even when you turn gray, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. I will carry and I will save. Then there's Isaiah 49, verses 15 to 16. Can a woman forget her nursing child or show no compassion for the child of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. John uses it in the New Testament, in the Gospel, chapter 3, verses 4 to 7, as being born again from above, as the equivalent of this first birth from the womb. And he says, Nicodemus said to him, how can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. All of these passages from Scripture reminds us that God is directly and intimately involved in our human lives, both physically and spiritually. Through these birth metaphors of creation, our reading from Genesis this morning, and salvation through faith in believing in Jesus Christ. It's meant to remind us of the bonds of love we have for one another. It connects us to God from the very beginning of creation, for God loved us from the start. And in response to this eternal love, we come together around the table of communion, our altar this morning, sharing a meal, talking about the tears and laughter of our lives through story. There we are nurtured by God's love. Stanza one imagines our relationship to God as one of love and companionship, to remind us that God nurtures and feeds us, giving us life and sustaining that life with God's love. This is the Father God who can be the home of every restless heart. Stanza 2 speaks of Jesus as the Word of God made flesh, as our human brother. And the Gospel of John uses this image of the Word of God being made in flesh in Jesus in the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. So this phrase, I know people have struggled with this in the past, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What that's referring to is our reading from Genesis this morning, when God's voice carries across the waters of the deep. God's voice created things. That's all it took, was God's voice to create that void, to fill it with water, to separate the skies from the seas. That's what that means. This, in the beginning was the Word. It was the Word of God. And that's how creation started, through the powerful Word of God. And when God was there at the beginning of everything, Jesus was there too. You will note, as I talk about this Trinity, this theology of Trinity, this goes all the way back to the creed that we say every Sunday. So when we say the creed today, I want you to realize that what you're doing is you're talking about the Trinity. We're going to talk about the Father, we're talking about the Son, and we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. So this hymn at Gethsemane Episcopal Church in Minneapolis, they sing this in place of saying the creed, because it's an orthodox, theologically and biblically based creedal statement of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's also a phrase in stanza 2 from Charles Wesley's Hark the Herald Angels Sing, this Jesus born to give us second birth, or in other words, to bring us back to relationship with God. This is Jesus, our brother, who has come to bring us back to the family of God, which is reminiscent of Mark's gospel in chapter 10, verse 45. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus, our brother and our priest, stands beside us in our weaknesses, sharing and understanding what it means to struggle. This human struggle that makes up our lives. Jesus gets that. Jesus, who is fully God, remember back at the beginning of creation, risen from the dead, breathes upon us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Breathes upon us. Stanza 3 takes us back to that brooding spirit from our reading today, reminding us of the waters of creation. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. This is ruach, that Hebrew word for the Spirit of God or the breath of God, that ruach. That's the breath of God that moves over this void and begins to create. The same Holy Spirit moves over our lives as a partner and a friend, even in our busy and hectic moments. Come to remind us when we forget, because we will forget, that Jesus has promised us a companion to remind us that we belong to God. From John 14, verse 26, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. He knew we were going to forget. He knew we'd get busy in our everyday lives and we'd forget all of the things that he wanted us to remember. So he sent the Holy Spirit to remind us. The Holy Spirit moves among us, helping to remind us that we are meant to realize a new world yet to be. A world free from slavery, a world of unity and love. And stanza 4 brings it home to us. Stanza 4 is meant to remind us of our journey with the Trinity, with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It ties it all together, reminding us that the images of God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit appear in mother and brother, holy partner, father, spirit, and only son. That's the Trinity. And when she brings it back to us, you and me in this last line of the hymn, she means business. It's not anything no longer, it's not about this theology or this esoteric thought, it's about real life actions and things that we do to enter into unity and love in the world we are creating through our language and our behaviors. This Trinity that can seem so hard to understand is really an image and model for human relationships, reflected through our relationship with God. Since all of creation is interconnected, we are all one with one another and with God. We were created to praise God in love and unity. We were created to share in God's work to make all things new, which is pretty amazing if you think about it. So as we move into our creed, and that we also move to the Eucharistic prayer today, I want you to listen for these symbols that are represented in this hymn, because they're going to appear throughout our worship today. These symbols of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The language that she uses in the hymn is going to be repeated in our creed, and it's repeated in our Eucharist. We are creedally, scripturally based as Episcopalians, which is pretty amazing. And may all God's people say,
Amen.